You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to another draft special episode, and this time I'm proud, and I'm actually super proud, because it's once in a blue moon that I have this opportunity to take a former colleague onto the show. And David Saint-Louis is more than a former colleague, he's a good friend and one of the best draft gurus there is around the internet. Thank you for joining
us,
David.
I'm really glad to be here.
Back at your old place in at Eyes on the Prize. You come a long way, and it's great to see you developing and getting a bigger role as well. How many hours have you spent this last year, since the last draft, on this draft class?
Oh, I don't know. I have to calculate this, but probably 1,000. Everything I do during the year is preparation for the draft guide. So I watch these prospects a lot. I write articles about them, but it's just a giant buildup. And we do this as a team, so I'm not alone in this. But the more I watch, the more I know these prospects, and the easier it is to write about them and talk about them at the end of the year. So a lot. It's a lot of hours, a lot of nights too. But I'm happy with our results for sure.
Yeah, and the EP guide is one of the most sought after and waited for guides coming out before the draft. And it's an amazing job. I've already forgotten how many pages it was because I just skimmed through it a little bit. Interesting list as well, and we're going to get to that in about a minute. But seriously, if you don't subscribe to Elite Prospects and are interested in the draft and development, be sure to do that, because it's well worth a investment, and also it gives David maybe a bit of a raise.
Well, thank you for that promotion. Yeah, we try to get better every year. We have more volume of articles, but we try to get a focus on the draft and drafted prospects too, but also the NHL more and more. So we do a lot of opinion pieces, breakdowns, system analysis. So we're all about breaking down hockey, and that's what we all love, actually.
Yeah, I miss a little bit collaborating with you because of the
Me too.
Fun when we did some of the video draft analysis and our post draft analysis and incorporating that with what kind of information we got from coaches and assistant coaches, because I think those in-depth articles were some of the best ones I've been participating in anyway. And we have to see when we can do that again, and when EP allows us and Eyes on the Prize allows us, if it goes the other way. First and foremost, though, we're here to talk about the 2023 draft. Looking at it, there's someone named Bedard at the top, so we're just going to skip him because we know who Chicago is going to take. But looking at the list, you have Fantilli and Carlson as number 2 and 3. How close were they in your group?
They were very close at the beginning of the year. I think I always had Fantilli at 2 because I really, really, really like his prospects. But we had a lot of discussions about 2, 3, and 4 for the second overall pick. So that would be Fantilli, Carlson, and even Michkov. So during the first part of the year, actually. But then as Fantilli improved faster than these other prospects, I think he became our surefire number 2 overall prospects, and he's a bit more toolsy than Carlson. That's pretty much a separation. We feel he could improve a bit more than Carlson. Carlson is more a finished product than Fantilli, but we really like them both. They're both great candidate for that second overall pick. Honestly, if you can go either way and have a great prospect there, and with Michkov too.
How much does it matter with what Carlson did, maybe not in the World Championships, but in the SHL playoffs, because he was really at a coming out situation where he sort of exploded into the SHL playoffs, where he and the other youngsters at Örebro, they were leading that team in scoring.
Yeah, well, we really like his play throughout the year. I'm not saying that Carlson didn't improve during the year, because he did, and I think he still has a lot of development runway ahead of him. It's just that, like I said, I think it's more of a what he is now is going to be what he is in the NHL, but doesn't mean that he can become a better version of himself. It's just we think that Fantilli can add more new elements to his game, And I think
All
even at
right.
the World Championship, Carlsen outplayed Fenthily, but even in those reduced roles, when Fenthily acts more as a checker down the lineup, he's very good at that. He's very adaptable. He can play multiple roles. He's more of a surefire center too. So the separation is very small, and I feel like Carlsen did improve. It's just that when we look ahead, maybe Fenthily will become the better player, but like I said, very, very close.
The fourth name is obviously Matvei
Oh yeah.
Michkov. There is a lot of things surrounding Matvei, and let's be honest about it. First and foremost, the contract situation, then the fact that the NHL KHL agreement doesn't exist, so there's no way really to talk about him, except which might have been left out in some instances, that David Bochner is a Canadian and a assistant coach for Ska. So you would assume that there will be some ways to talk about him, and he will have to learn a little bit, it could learn a little bit of English before coming over. But the question really is KHL a development
Yeah,
league?
that's always a question too. You're right. Like, it's not only about the contract situation. It's the fact that he's going to be in Russia for the next few years, and maybe he's going to learn to play a type of game that won't translate as well to the NHL. Although we've seen other prospects who've spent elite prospects who spent a few years in the KHL translate their skills to the NHL. Like, it's maybe the second best league in the world, and it's a great competition, so he's going to improve for sure. But is he going to develop the habits he needs to make a smooth transition? We don't know. It's the same question with other Russian prospects. It's not just that they're going to stay in Russia. It's that will they get the play time and the roles they need, the puck touches to really build on their game. So there are other questions on that side too.
I've said that maybe talent-wise, that fan talent to bring the fans in the stands is probably Michkov's. Michkov might be the best one in the whole draft with that. But the question is, can he achieve that? Does it translate in? I can see him in some ways become the superstar like Alex Ovechkin, but I can also see him drop quite a few places in the draft. What do you think? What is your opinion on that?
I don't know where it's going to drop. He's a weird prospect because I feel like in terms of pure skill level, there are better prospects in this draft. Like in terms of even handling skills, shooting, passing skills, I can name better prospects than him. It's just that it's the whole package, how it works together. And he has a weird style because he's 5'10", 5'11", but he's very aggressive too. So he runs the net a bit like Brendan Gallagher even. He has that dimension to his game. But he's also a great playmaker off the rush. He slows down the play like Panarin or Kucherov. So he has those many facets, but I'd say nothing is actually elite. It's just that there are so many of them and he can score in so many different ways that he's going to find ways to score in the NHL and he's always going to find ways to beat defenders too. So it really is diversity, is versatility, and the fact that his skills, even if they're not necessarily elite, they're high end. So many high-end skills is always very, very good.
You mentioned that goal scoring touch, and I can be honest. When he did his senior national team debut against Sweden, I was standing next to Trevor Timmins, and I showed him a Michigan goal or a lacrosse goal that Michkov scored, and arguably one of the best goalkeepers outside NHL at that point. Fantastic performance, and you were really thinking, and you saw some of the other scouts coming over to look at my computer. And he had you mentioned he can score in so many ways, and to do that on an international level in your senior debut is more or less unheard of. And I think that is the enticing factor, that he will find those weird things to do with the puck.
Yeah, I think he's my favorite prospect in this draft. Looking back, because he's so fun to watch, because you never know exactly what to expect. His play style is a bit immature right now. He looks more like a junior player in certain ways because he cheats all the time and he forces plays all the time. But that's just the mark of creative players who want to create something with every puck touch. So it's an issue right now, but we project that like a few years down the road. I think he's going to iron out those parts of his game, his decision making is going to improve, and Like you said, he has those Michigan goals. He can score from behind the net. He can score by using teammates. So I feel like he's going to fill the highlight reels, but not maybe by dangling through everyone, just by building scoring chances with his hockey sense. That's really his best characteristic.
Yeah, indeed. You guys, though, and this is interesting from the eyes on the prize and Habs fans' perspective. You guys got Benson at number five,
Yes.
Leonard at number six, and Smith at number seven, which is sort of the conundrum picking at five because you got those four sort of solid prospects that most of us will think, especially since Mitchkov is coming to the draft, will go top four.
Yeah, in terms of our ranking, we feel pretty certain that Mitchkov belongs at four. We feel pretty certain that Benson is the fifth best prospect in the draft. Leonard and Smith. It was a big debate all year, honestly. We weren't sure who was going to rank ahead. And I think it's still a debate because we don't all agree about this. But in the end, we had to make a call and we chose a prospect that we loved the most out of the US and TDP to rank at six.
Indeed, and what is the qualities? And if let's say we follow elite prospects ranking for Montreal, picking Benson at number five, why is the reason you have him at number five? What can fans expect if they get Benson?
Well, the way we rank is that we rank by upside. That's our first factor, our first thing that goes into our ranking formula. We also rank by chance of reaching their upside. So we value certainty as a second factor. And then we value the number of dimensions that our prospect has. And in terms of those three things, when we add them to the formula, Benson just came out ahead all the time because he has that top line upside. We feel he's going to get there because he has that kind of hardworking mentality, and nothing's going to stop him. And he has so many different dimensions in this game. Like, he's one of the best playmakers in the draft, maybe the best playmaker in the CHL sometimes, except for sure, Bedard. And he had great tracking the data too. He can play two-way, he can play defensively. He's better than Will Smith on the boards too, despite being smaller. Like, he can leverage his smaller center of gravity and go inside on defenders, steal the puck, and can create offense from the walls too. So there's so many dimensions to this game. So even if he's smaller and his skating ranks more as average, we feel that he, like Mitchkov, is going to find ways to impact the game to score. And more than Mitchkov, is going to find ways to impact the game in the defensive end too. So it's going to be hard to stop. Every night is going to make an impact one way or the other.
I mean, like, let's be honest. You mentioned Mitchkov, you mentioned Benson, and to a certain degree, Leonard as well. Short players, Montreal, team of Smurfs.
Yeah, that's an issue, maybe. We don't feel it should be an issue, but I get that you have to factor in team building when making such a high pick. Is it really a problem if you have two shorter players on two different lines? I don't know, but teams always look to the playoff success of other teams before them. So the Cup winners, they didn't have many 5'9" players in their top six, the top of the lineup. So maybe the Habs won't want to go that way. We feel they should go that way, though. But even if they don't choose to Benson, they are going to have a great player. If it's Leonard, if it's Smith, if it's Reinbacher, I think you can argue that any one of those players could become the best player out of that range at fifth overall. I mean, like, we aren't sure that's going to be Benson. We think it is, but it's all thinking in probabilities. So we rank the player we think has the higher chance of success, who has the most upside there, but there are other names too that would fit very well in the team and that have a lot of upside too.
Okay, you mentioned him, and so let's let the cat out of the bag. What do you see with David Reinbach? The good, the
I
bad,
like
the
him
ugly.
more. There's a lot of good, a lot more good than bad. I think we can start with the bad and get it out of the way. In terms of coordination and handling skills, it could improve. That part of his game, like, I think the biggest limiter of his offense right now, it's that he lacks a bit of that technical ability. I think the reads are better than his execution sometimes. Like, he has some ideas, but he can't always pull them off because coordinating his hands and feet, like, precisely, the finer mechanical skills, he doesn't fully have them, but he can develop that. We've seen other players improve their handling. It's easier to improve than skating ability, for example. And he has those activation ideas. So right now, I think everyone has the right picture of Rainbacker. He's more of a defensive defenseman with puck moving ability. So that those are his two main attributes. He can defend a rush well. He's very good engager in the defensive zone. So one-on-one with attackers, he can pin them to the wall, steal the puck, and defend the net. He's pretty good with his reads too. And he's good at breakouts. More and more during the year, his puck moving game improved. He made more controlled breakouts and all of this. What's missing is really the offensive zone play, the playmaking. But he has those instincts about activating, knowing when to jump from the blue line, attack pucks at pocket of space to get the puck. He has those kind of reads. They're not high end, but they're there. So if he improves his handling ability, he's going to be able to get the puck and make the next play. And it's possible. Like, it's not unrealistic to think that it could happen. So we feel that he has a high floor. He's very safe. And there's upside there because he played in the professional league, which probably he limited his plays not to cause mistakes. And if he gets the right development team around him, he could improve his technical skills and become a two-way defenseman, like a much better offensive driver.
You mentioned his offensive skills, and he's played in Kloten or Naturalliga Division A, so it's NLA, but in Switzerland. They have used him on the power play to a certain degree. And is that, you think, a way to help his offensive attributes shine and develop, or is there something that we have missed that we don't see?
Yeah, the more, like, I complained earlier about Michkov's experimentation and all of this, but the more a player experiments, the more he tries stuff, the easier that's always going to improve. Like, players have to try plays to figure out the limit of their skills and push those limits. So employing him on the power play, that's a good way to and get him more puck touches inside space and improve his reads, his vision, his playmaking. So the more opportunities he will get, the better it will be for his development.
Do you think it's worth taking Rainbacher at number five?
I think it's a bit early, but I don't see it as a bad pick necessarily. It's just a boring one. That's the issue. You won't get the excitement factor, but I think Gouli, but slightly, he's better than... Okay, in his draft year, Gouli was a better skater. That was the main difference. Rainbacher is an above-average skater in terms of projection, too. He has more details to his game than Gouli had, and there are more offensive showings. Like, he's more aggressive and confident in his offensive game than Gouli was. So we could see the offensive development. Those are good signs. But I think the comparison here, it fits. You could have Gouli on the right side with a bit more offense. So it's a very effective player. And even if he just becomes a number three defenseman, it's still worth it to take him at five in most drafts. Here, I would still take the forwards ahead of him. We rank Rainbacher at nine, but he's in that conversation. It's not like bad to pick him at five. It's just like not as exciting, but it's worth it to have a number two defenseman at five. And he has top line upside too.
Let's be honest. First and foremost, there was someone named Maurice Seider that wasn't a very sexy pick either was it 8 he went? And a little bit similar in the regards to a Central European league that doesn't really develop a lot of prospects, et cetera, et cetera. Are we more open to Rainbacher because of Seider, maybe, that, you know, smaller countries, and then I'm using smaller with quotation mark, now because of Seider, and are more open to Rainbacher at five?
Yeah, I think he opened up the way for Rainbacher. If we didn't have Seider, I think some people wouldn't consider him as high. And I'm part of that category too, because I had Seider lower in his draft year. I wasn't doing this as seriously before in 2019.
No, I remember there was some other guy that you usually speak with that had his Seider a little bit higher.
Maybe. I don't exactly.
Not sure whom.
Oh, you had him higher.
Yeah, I had him higher than you.
I think I had him at 16 or 18. So you probably...
I think I had him at 10. Well,
that's good. That's good. So... But yeah.
But I was still wrong. But if a team likes a player, they take him. And that's what we learned from Seider as well. And I think that is the conversation that opens the conversation for Rainbacher.
Yeah, and I think what Seider showed is that as long as you have good enough tools and you're willing to learn and you're willing to be aggressive in your style of play, you can become a pretty good defenseman. And I think Seider had better tools in his draft year than Rainbacher, a better skater. He was a taller, more physical. His handling skills were a bit better. But The comparison still fits. Like there are same ingredients in the recipe here. So maybe if the Habs are lucky and they draft Ryan Backer at 5 overall, he could follow a similar development and become that top line defender because there are, like you said, there are a lot of similarities there. And I made a video comparing those two on Elite Prospects channel if you want to check it out.
The best way of not missing any of David's stuff is to follow him on Twitter, and I'm sure you have more followers than me now, David. So be sure to do that. Really, there is when I have a question about a prospect, David is the one I go to first, and then I might ask other people after. We're going to move on to another segment, though. We're just going to listen to some of our sponsors.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
And we're back. And David, looking to the draft, and you already mentioned Michkov as one of your favorite prospects in the draft. Can you give us maybe another couple of prospects that you like that aren't in the top 10?
Yeah, and I think they could be available at Montreal's other pick in the first round, be it 31 or 32. And they are Quentin Musty and Grayson Sachin, two players that we don't understand why we are the only ones having high, because honestly, they are usually the type of players that NHL scouts really like. But for some reason, they stick between 20 and like 30 in a case of Musty, and Sachin is more often projected to be a second rounder. And some people have him way, way, way lower. But he's a high-end talent in this draft, and I can assure you that. Musty is he's 6'2", so he's bigger. He has high-end handling skills. He has the vision, and he can score too as one of the better shots in the draft. And he got better and better during the year. Like, he really progressed. His defensive game got better. It's still a weakness, but it got better. And his decision making too. So we think he has pretty much everything except the skating. It's more average than for some other prospects, but it's a really high-end package that you could get at the end of the first round. Sachin, he played down the lineup of a very good Seattle Thunderbirds team. So he didn't get as many opportunities as others. His game didn't flash as much. He's also super great handler. He can dangle players. He has the vision too. And he's very hardworking. So he goes to the net, he back checks. He has all the elements you need. The skating is also average, not below average, but like projection as average. Those are the two favorite players we have between 10 and 20 right now that I feel could be available at 31.
And any other players before I'm going to stuck you on? I'm totally going to blindside you because I didn't prepare you for this after, but any other players that you want to highlight for later rounds?
Yeah.
Montreal has to pick at 37 as an example.
There is Andrew Kristel. I think he could be available there. It seems likely even after his U18s, which wasn't great. The issue with Kristel, I think you probably know him by now, is he's smaller, skating is average. His compete, like NHL scouts say, isn't that high either. So he's a chess player on the ice, purely. So he's going to slow down the attacks. He slows down the game, manipulates defenders, uses his teammates, uses give and goes. He makes a ton of passing plays like this, and he builds scoring chances. So it's really not an NHL style of scoring, but in hockey sense, it's high end, like very, very high. And the handling skills too. So he could turn into something very good, like a half-wall playmaker, power play one on in the NHL, top line driver too. With his weakness, the weaknesses are always going to be there. They're going to fall into the NHL, but hockey sense is so high, and the handling skills are so good, and the playmaking too, that he's worth a bet around that range, and it's very possible that he's available there. And I have another one if you give me time. Oscar Fisker Mulgaard, if I pronounce that right. He's
of course he did. We're both Norwegian, so we're gonna go with or Danish.
Yeah. Is it? I wrote an article on him. I should know this. He's the complete opposite of Kristel. So he's a very hardworking center who is probably going to stay down the middle. His speed is above average. He has some physical skills. He was born in Denmark, and he played most of his minor hockey there. So he just joined Sweden's system in 2021. So he didn't play high-level hockey for a while. And because of this, I think there's more development runway for him than other prospects. So he figured out those Swedish leagues quite fast. He played in the G20. He scored quite a lot. And then he moved on to the SHL, and he was very effective this season in the SHL despite his age, like playing a lot of minutes, being able to shut down opposing players. So right now, his defense and two-way play shone more in the SHL, but he has offense too. We see flashes of vision, handling skills. He goes to the net. So there's a bit of everything. Tools are above average, and we think there's more ahead of him because he's pretty new to all of this competitive hockey.
Yeah, and HV 71 is a good team to develop in as well. They fell out of the SHL, played a year in Hockey Allsvenskan, got back, and it's a solid team. They will never sacrifice anything economically because it's one of the best run teams in Sweden. I would assume that he will get the chances to build on his SHL performance as well. David, one thing that is sort of forgotten, unless there is some amazing talent somewhere, is goalies. And I know you think they are Vodo, so it's not that. But is there a goalie? Because Canadian system, there's been some goalies being let go from the system. We're not sure about who's going to be the number one down the line. Is there a goalie in this draft? Do you think the Montreal Canadiens should draft?
Asking me about goalies,
Yeah, I know.
that's hard.
I love it. I get to sound really good for once.
Oh, we have two in our top 64. Like, I think prospects, the way we operate is that we're a team of skater evaluators, and we have someone, Greg, who does our goalie scouting for us. He gives us range to put them on our board, gives us upside, and then we figure out how to make the board afterward. He has Trey Augustine in the middle as a middle second rounder, and Michael Harbaugh. Sorry, we placed him at 50, at 40, at 54. So these are the two main goalies in the draft, we feel, as a team, but mostly Greg. He's not sure that they have starter potential, but they're the two most likely candidate to earn that role down on the line. So that's pretty much the only thing I can tell you about them.
with and correct me if I'm wrong here, but Montreal has 5 picks in the first 3 rounds, if I remember correctly. And would you, I mean, like you as an evaluator, and I know you hate goalies, but you also hate prospects sometimes, so it's fine. But when would you sacrifice one of those top one of those 5 picks on a goalie? Maybe I should phrase it that way.
Yeah, man, I think it's worth it, especially that these two. Like, if you have that many picks, you can pick four skaters and one goalie, maybe. If I was in charge of the draft, maybe I wouldn't use them on goalies because they're so volatile, and maybe I would try to draft them a bit lower in the draft, especially because we feel that there is no clear starter in this one. But I know other scouts who think the two goalies I name and others have starter potential. So, like I said, I'm not the best person to talk about this. So, it would depend on how the Habs evaluate those two goalies and what they think their value is.
I'm in Sweden. There's obviously discussions about, you know, Leo Carlsson and Axel Sundin Pelikka, which we haven't really discussed, and I'm gonna leave that one as well. But there's also Otto Stenberg, and the discussion in Sweden has really been, will NHL teams use him in their development to become a center, or would you move him to the wing? And for me, with the limited scouting experience that I have, compared to you, I would probably put him on the wing, but what are your thoughts with how you have followed Otto Stenberg throughout the season?
He's one of the prospects I watched live at the World Juniors Under 19, Junior A. I watched him there, and I wasn't all that impressed by him in the first part of the season. But then he started picking it up internationally in the second part of the year. I have some my concerns about Otto Stenberg, but in the second round, I think he's a good pick to make in general. I'm not sure he's a center long term, although I like his defensive game more and more as the year progressed. Like, I think he gave more of an effort on the back check. Like, I'm not sure the reads are fully there, but as long as the effort is there, it's not often enough for a prospect to develop their system play and become better defensively down the line. And he showed a lot more skill as the season progressed. And he had that space inside the Swedish international team to really make plays because there were no big playmakers necessarily, especially at the U18s beside him. Especially because Dahre Nilsson, another prospect that I like, didn't show up as much. So he has some red flags in that he looks more like an European scorer than an NHL one right now, but he improved his game faster in the year. I think he's more of a winger, but a good target in the second round or that second first round pick perhaps have.
Yeah, or 38 first or 32nd.
Yeah.
It's going to be like it's like picking in the second round already. David, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Just let me know when you want to do another podcast because I know you're one of the people that people like our listeners asks for the most. Your insights are so good and so valued of the Montreal Canadiens community. Again, thank you.
It was my pleasure. I always like doing these. I do them more throughout the end of the year when I know these prospects better, but I always enjoy it.